This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. When Sonia Usach Kuen's son was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, she started keeping a diary of sorts. She wrote poetry about the devastating moments when her son was institutionalized, when he began not to speak for 2 years. She also wrote about the moments of joy when he began to get better. Sonia's writings are now a book of poetry that follows the story from her son's diagnosis 35 years ago to his life today. She's going to be speaking Saturday at the annual conference for the National Alliance on Mental Illness in North Carolina, and she's going to be reading at Quail Ridge Books in Raleigh on Sunday at 3 o'clock, but first she joins me in the studio. Sonia, welcome to the State of Things.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tell us about your son before he was diagnosed.
Well, he had a normal delivery. We had no mental illness in the family that I knew of, and he was a great kid, kind of a B-plus, A-minus student, great in sports, tons of friends, and a great interest in theater and dance. And he did studied at the Hughes Dance Center on Long Island. His teacher gave us a letter so that we could get in to see Alvin Ailey backstage. He loved it. Had an audition for a Broadway show. They wanted a redhead, so he didn't get the part, but you know how that goes. Anyway, when he was 17, he was in a big dance concert, featured dancer, and then he followed that with an acceptance into an apprentice program at the John Drew Theater in East Hampton. Leonard Bernstein's niece was in that program, so it was a good program. Well, I would say about two-thirds of the way through, he called, and his voice was slurred. It was not sounding like Lance, and he begged to come home. I was the kind of mother who said, well, you finish it through. Don't want to be a Cub Scout again next year. We do the blue and gold dinner, and you're done. So please stay. But a few days later, he called again, and I realized there was something very wrong. Picked him up, brought him home, took him to the doctor. He had a workup at North Shore University Hospital, and they didn't have a real diagnosis. So we started with a psychologist, psychiatrist. First diagnosis was bipolar, but that's a crossover of symptoms into what schizophrenia and paranoid schizophrenia really is. And from there, it got very, very dark, very dark. And it was a long road. I feel like I was on a two-seater motorcycle. I was the passenger riding with him.
What was it like for you at that time before you got the diagnosis? Something's going on. You're not quite sure what it is. The diagnoses aren't really giving you answers. In the meantime, is his condition changing? And what's it like to live with him at home?
It was very difficult to see somebody who was so specific in his desire to have a career, be tumbling down. It was a spiraling effect. Parents, not just me, but all parents, have this terrible guilt feeling, this feeling of what did we do wrong, this feeling of why him? He's such a good kid. He doesn't deserve this. And so we were isolated from our friends who didn't understand because there's stigma involved, and we stayed with him constantly because his change in behavior demanded that we pay close attention.
What kind of changes? How was he acting?
Well, he acted out in a very depressed manner, curled up in his bed, and then all of a sudden, now he was a senior in high school at the time, all of a sudden his behavior took a change. We didn't realize he was being manicky. He was interested in everything. Got a part in Fiddler on the Roof. Joined the softball team. But of course, that was not a reality because he was over-involved.
Your book starts with the time when he was first at an institution, and I wonder if you'd read that poem for us.
Okay. Breath Sounds. My 17-year-old son's passion, crushed by the wires of his brain's electrical error, gyrating his thoughts, numbing his senses. I stand frozen outside his blackened confusion. My words beg him to home. The years snake. My blood force presumes to heal this curse. But my blood force, too thin, not enough to pull him from his barren pit, coax his silent voice to utter a sound, any sound. Into the hospital's public phone, I beg a word, any word. I hear only the hushed echo of his breath.
Sonia Usach Kuen reading from her book of poetry regarding my son. When he finally was institutionalized, what was that like for you? Was it a relief? Were you still struggling with whether or not he should be home? What was happening?
Well, actually, he had several hospitalizations, but the final one was a 5-year and 2-month length stay at a mental institution on Long Island where we lived. It was terrible because he begged to come out, and those keys, keep him inside, keep me outside. I tried everything that I possibly could to help him through it, but it took a long while. I was involved in the McFarland project where parents and other loved ones come and speak to a social worker, and then your loved one, your child or spouse, is brought down to the social work setting, and it gives parents an opportunity to get things off their chest. It was there that he started mouthing words, just mouthing, like sink. And finally, he began to speak a word at a time, strung a few words, made a sentence, spoke in first person, and finally, he began to speak.
How long had he not been speaking?
A little over 2 years.
What were they telling you about that at the time?
They were telling me how bad it was. They were telling me that it was very serious. But I made a pact with myself to get my son back before I stopped walking on this planet. And he was hospitalized for a medical situation and on no medication. We walked the corridors with his IV pole, and his head was clear, so he began asking me questions about his life. And it's our belief that it was then that he decided to partake in his wellness. And he did.
Well, what do you think? Was he certainly on medications at the time?
Yes, he got a new doctor, a new psychiatrist, a new psychologist, a different medication. And he began participating by graduating from the various programs that people with mental illness go to on a daily basis. And he never looked back. And finally, he wound up at a clubhouse where he decided to go back to college. So he hadn't been in school for a very long time. He was tutored up. He went. He graduated in 2012.
Before this, of course, it's very difficult for you because you realize that he's unable to distinguish between what's real and what's not. And I know that you have a poem that speaks directly to that. I believe the poem Walking.
Yes. Walking. I study the faded iris of his blue-green eyes, staring at me, piercing through me, as side by side we walk, side by side, mother and son. What's today? My eyes skim over and around him, seeking to penetrate barriers invisible to my naked eye, as side by side we walk, step over grass, onto the pavement, together, side by side, left, right, left, mother and son, side by side, love, yet somehow out of sync. Today is Tuesday, Tuesday, September 21st. I follow his search for truth with my own eyes, center on each nuance as his search for self rounds. We move side by side, left, right, left, side by side we talk, mother and son, out of the hospital ward, out in the autumn air, out for a slice of pizza, mother and son. Which schools did I go to? Which camp did I go to? Was I in a car accident? What play was I in? Who was my kindergarten teacher? And that one, I cannot recall, even though I brought him that first day, 27 years ago. We leave the pizza parlor, side by side, mother and son, left, right, left. We walk together, the pavement, the grass. When are you coming back? Next Tuesday, September 28th, 5 o'clock, like today. I offer a kiss, smile goodbye. I receive no kiss, no smile, no goodbye. Instead, one more question. Are you my real mother?
Sonia Usach Kuhn, Regarding My Son, is the name of her book of poetry. She's going to speak to the conference for the National Alliance on Mental Illness in North Carolina this Saturday and be at Quail Ridge Books on Sunday. When did you start writing?
Well, the first time that I went to visit him in a psych unit, and I started to write what I observed. Actually, facing the blank page was my salvation. It saved me because on the blank page, I could bear my anger, write my hope, wish my prayer, and express what sometimes is not expressible, the guilt. But we are not guilty. We are not guilty of this. This is something that happens. It's not quite understood why yet.
Right.
But I know that there's a lot of research and a turn towards recovery.
Tell us about his turn. You started to talk about it earlier, about when things turned around.
Well, the turnaround came for him when he himself made a decision to get better and participate in his own wellness. And he did that by making decisions on his own. And the use of neuroplasticity, which refers to the use of your brain, the more you keep using it, the more you have use of it. And that's what he did. He took classes, and then he was tutored up, and then he went to college, and out of the institution, he had to learn Word because he had no use for a computer. He has a cell phone. He has a checkbook. He has a credit card now, and he is part of the real world, and he is a registered voter.
I'm talking with Sonia Usach Kuhn today on The State of Things. Her book of poetry is called Regarding My Son, and it talks about her years working with her son through paranoid schizophrenia. Well, you talked about him making the decision to participate in his own wellness, but of course it raises the question about whether anybody with that diagnosis is in a position to make that kind of executive, do that kind of executive thinking. I mean, isn't that the problem?
Well, it is the problem because there's a poem by Dr. Jack Houlihan about the thirds. A third get better, a third stay the same, and a third get worse. We're blessed with a miracle. He's in the third that gets better.
Did you expect to be? What do you have to tell yourself with odds like that and such, and being so obviously so close and so attached? What do you have to tell yourself before the turnaround about which third you're in?
Well, there was a time when it was in the last third section that he may never get better because his body was breaking down, his mind was breaking down, he shut down, he didn't eat, he didn't talk, he was incontinent. I got him out of the state hospital into a private hospital for another look with the help of a very wonderful doctor on Long Island, Dr. William Turner, and the support of good friends. And I kept trucking. It was my goal to get him to be the most independent person he could be. And that's what happened.
What's he doing now?
Well, he's looking for a job. His degree is in early child care education. And he also was just accepted about 10 days ago. He got the news that he will be in the program of peer specialist. Now, peer specialist works with other people who aren't as advanced as he in their recovery. It's a four-month program. He has to graduate. Not everybody gets accepted. He had to pass two interviews. He did a dynamite job.
Has he read the book?
Yes, he's read the book. And actually, we have done a couple of workshops together. We did one in New York last week at Pilgrim Psychiatric Center's day-long conference. And in November, we will be in Bethesda, Maryland, presenting at Creativity and Madness for AIMED, the American Institute for Medical Education. He will be telling his recovery story, and I will be reading some of my work to support how he got from A to B.
What does he think about the work? Does he recognize himself in those poems?
Yes, he does. There are some things that he shut out of his head, and that's a good thing, I think. He doesn't have to remember how terrible it was. He still has that theatrical stage presence. So put a microphone in his hand, and he knows how to conduct himself. He knows how to hold an audience.
Sonia, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure, and thank you to you and NPR for being kind to mental illness.
Sonia Usach-Kuhn is the author of the book of poetry, Regarding My Son. She'll speak at the conference for the National Alliance on Mental Illness in North Carolina this Saturday, and will read at Quail Ridge Books in Raleigh on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And if you want more information about any of that, you can go to our website, stateofthings.org. Our program's produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Alex Curley is our intern. Robin Copley is our technical director, and Brent Wolf is the news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.